Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is your host, Rav. What have we just seen in the Champions League? Like, just where to even begin? Where to even begin with that? I'm absolutely stunned. I was taking notes through a pre-match. I was going to discuss things like lineups, tactics, formations, how we're going to come out of this tie across the 180 minutes. And pretty much a lot of that just got ripped up. A lot of my structure, even for this podcast, was just blown away as Arsenal on the field were blowing PSV away. It was wild. Couldn't believe what I was watching. Sometimes we had them on toast from very early on. I was expecting a positive start. I think the club needed to do that. You could see the willingness was there from the opening whistle, in the tunnel. On our feed that we received here in Australia, in the tunnel, there was some audio coming through, right? And I could clearly hear Raya say something like, "Come on, boys, fast start," or "quick start," or something to that effect. And it must have been something that they all focused on and they all spoke about pre-match, or maybe Arteta did. And boy, did we come out of the blocks early. It was just a palpable change of energy and intensity. I don't want to be too cynical, right? I would have loved to have seen just a little bit of that, you know, applied to the West Ham match a few weeks ago. But you know what? That is what it is. Just got to deal with that now and move on and focus on what we saw here. Like, this was Arsenal at our free flowing, quick movement, controlling, attacking flair best. Like, there was attitude there. There was just an air of arrogance. The personality. We stamped our authority on the match. From very early on, we set the tone. Now, importantly, though, what was so important is that you got to capitalize. You have to convert that performance, that intensity, onto the scoreboard, right? Because we've seen how a match can just ebb and flow, right? And we've been on the receiving end here, haven't we? Us as Arsenal fans, when we dominate a period of the match, but then the ball goes up the other end and out of nowhere, we're down 1-0, right? Like, it's too often... Too often we've seen that. So full credit to Arsenal, full credit to all of them. They put the foot on the throat and we capitalized. It seems like so long ago, right? Given how much happened in this match, but very early on in this fixture, it was just a very strange moment with Odegaard. He was played through beautifully, and he lined up the shot. He was about to rifle one in on his left foot, but then out of nowhere, like, something happened. Did he trip? Did he receive some contact from the PSV defender and he's gone over? Now, again, I'm not sure what feed you're all watching. I'm pretty sure it's the same broadcast we all see across the globe. But here, that they didn't show a replay. Like, I know that they were waiting for the ball to go out of play. It took 2 or 3 minutes for even the VAR check to happen. You saw so many protests from Arsenal players. Like, Declan Rice was beside himself. He had both arms up, close proximity to the referee, asking, you know, what's going on? Like, what happened then? When they finally showed it, I still couldn't quite tell. It was just weird. It reminded me of a few seasons ago, something happened with David Luiz was penalized for this, that his leg just glanced, made contact with the attacker's studs and you know, caused them to lose their balance. I think that's what happened with Odegaard here, right? Whether it was a penalty or not, look, I've seen them given, but... I guess in the grand scheme of things, right? Does it really matter in the end? Because we were having chances, we created openings. There was a cracking shot from Rice from distance, which went in. Like, I don't want to lose sight of these sort of moments, even though the goal doesn't count. But so often we've been saying, where are the goals going to come from? Where are our attackers? Can we take a few more risks? Can we take shots on distance? Do we have to have the extra 3 or 4 touches when there's a chance to shoot on target? And it was a fantastic hit. Once again, didn't get many replays of that offside. Like, they showed a still frame. I would have loved to have seen some lines drawn because, you know, it could have been one of those ones that was actually onside. But look, anyway, all that aside, it didn't take long for the actual goal to come through. And boy, like, when it actually came, when it rains, it pours, as they say. It was beautifully worked in to the box. By Trossard, Rice with a lovely spin pirouette, flicks it onto the back post with a lovely deep cross. And Timber, like, for a man of his height, boy, he can climb. Like, he's a fantastic duel winner. whether it's the balls on the deck or in the air, like he climbed high and it was a beautiful header into the goal. And I was just in disbelief because we've all just been watching the last few weeks, right? We've been struggling to score goals, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, it shows how easy it can be. Yes, we're struggling for a forwards, and we don't have a striker. But all of a sudden, you get a driving run from they call him the horse for a reason, Declan Rice, a driving run, pinpoint cross, have your fullback advance to that position, which we don't often see on the right. Like Timber normally doesn't get as far up that compared to White, and then he climbs up and 1-0 to the Arsenal. It was awesome. It was absolutely brilliant. And then just as I was celebrating, I was watching with my sons and my wife, and we were like, wow, this is this is a completely different Arsenal. Just out of nowhere, right, I was actually literally typing a message as it happened in front of me, and I'm so glad I didn't get too distracted by my phone, and I was watching, because once again, in a similar position, we've worked our way into the box, and this goal was made in Hayland. This, you could hang this in a museum. This is going to be something that's going to be replayed and spoken about a lot in Arsenal folklore, especially as the careers of these two youngsters continue to blossom. Lewis Skelly to Wanyeri, he doesn't even break stride. Minimal backlift, and that shot, I tell you what, if the net wasn't there to catch it, that ball would still be going. It would still be travelling. He absolutely rocketed it. It was a thing of beauty. It was majestic. And it's unsavable. Yes, he's from point-blank range and he shouldn't miss, but there's a way to hit the ball as well. And the way he hit it with such authority, with such conviction, he's 17 years old. He absolutely smashed that ball in. Now, he's our third highest goal scorer this season. Third highest. He's 17. Just behind Saka and Havertz, and unfortunately, given their long-term injuries, I see Wanyeri continuing to add to that tally, and he'll probably end up being our highest goal scorer this season. Who saw this coming? He's 17. It is magnificent. I'm so proud of him, right? It's a beautiful time to be an Arsenal fan, to watch these two flourish and blossom right in front of our eyes. I don't think any of us saw this happening pre-season. And speaking of Lewis Skelly, it must be said, look, I consider him, if I thought we were a bit unlucky not to get a penalty, I think we were handed that back and then some. I think Lewis Skelly is very fortunate that he didn't get a second yellow card. That challenge is not the type of challenge that you do when you're already on a yellow. And it was his trailing leg, his right leg, that really made some contact with him. You can see the PSV fans in that little corner. You can see their players protesting, right? I really, really thought the ref was going to reach for a second yellow, and I probably wouldn't have had any complaints, right? So we got very, very fortunate there. Referee, against that home raucous support, you know, it's not often that they don't brandish that second yellow. It's very much a decision that more often than not goes in favour of the home team. So I'm very, very glad, because we just don't need that narrative, right? Of course, we don't need another red card. That's obvious. But we just don't need this narrative to continue to grow against Lewis Skelly, as unfair as it is. And I'm really, really glad that Arteta took him off, right? Just take him out of the firing line. It's okay. We're actually well stocked there for options at left back and the fullback area. So it was just a wise move. Thankfully, we were given the chance to do it, right? By him being left on the pitch. So that was excellent. The third goal, it was, again, just bizarre viewing, because I was waiting for a whistle to go. I was waiting. It was players falling over each other. It was a sea of defenders around there, legs going in, Timber sort of, you know, tumbling over. I was just waiting for a foul to be blown. But then, inexplicably, the ball has just failed to be cleared by PSV. And Marino just slots home beautifully. And 3-0. There was another check, an offside check. But so much happened between that still frame where it looked like Marino was offside. So much happened, though. So many interplays, so many changes, touches of the ball from Arsenal and PSV, that I think logic prevailed here. Common sense prevailed, sorry. That the goal stood. And 3-0. And I think game over. And the tie was pretty much done from there, right? I was still... I'm still in wonderment. I was still in amazement of the second goal from Ethan. And then all of a sudden, we're up 3-0. I was like, what is this? What is this Arsenal? We've got no strikers and it's raining goals. It was amazing. Two things I must point out at this point in the podcast. I'm remiss. I should have said this at the start, right? We, as amazing as this result is, it's 7-1. I think it's our most significant European win in Arsenal's history. I think it eclipses the 5-1, which I remember watching live at the San Siro with Thierry Henry, just in a league of his own back then. As amazing as this is, we must say, we have to disclaim the fact that PSV were ordinary. They were very, very poor tonight. I know they've struggled in their domestic league. However, I wasn't expecting them to be this bad, right? That they gave Arsenal so much space. The amount of times that we opened them right up. Rice, Odegaard, just driving through the middle, Partey. No pressure. Hardly any bodies in front of them. They completely lost their shape and their structure. We were just doing as we pleased, right? Pinging the ball to the left, to the right, to Ethan, to Trossard. We were just doing as we pleased. It doesn't happen in the Premier League. We don't get this much freedom in the Premier League or in England, right? We see how much we struggle against the mid and low blocks, right? They were terrible. Now, it's one thing to say they were terrible. It's another thing altogether to capitalize and take advantage. And you still got to go there and do it. You still got to go and get the job done. Take your chances. Put your foot on the throat. Finish them off. And to Arsenal's credit, to our credit, we absolutely did. And I'm so glad for that. And I'm so proud of that performance, right? So PSV were terrible. Their goalkeeper, oh dear, like he made some shocking mistakes. Some of his parries just went straight back into the middle. Odegaard capitalized later on, right, at the start of the second half. Before I get to that, Thomas Partey. I prefer Jorginho. I think from those of you who have listened to my podcast, you know how I feel about Jorginho. Very heavily underutilized. I didn't like seeing Partey back on the team sheet. I know Arteta is obviously a fan and will utilize him in big matches as much as he can, fair enough. It was just a silly mistake. He didn't need to do that. It's a clear, blatant penalty. And why do that? Why give them a sniff? Why let them back in? It was just needless. And instead of going into halftime at 3-0 comfortable, we've opened the door slightly and it's 3-1. To be fair, whatever slight opening there was of a window or the door being slightly ajar, whatever you want to reference, we absolutely slammed it shut, picking up where we left off in the second half. So then just, I think it was about a minute played in on the clock. Odegaard pounces, he scores. And here's where it starts to get a little bit hazy, right? Like I'm trying to just remember my sequence of goals correctly, because it was Odegaard. And then shortly after, out of nowhere, we play the ball in through the left. Calafiori and Trossard interchange. Trossard with a beautiful dink finish. And then it's, what are we up to now? Is that five? Yes. 5-0, right? It was, we were just wondering what is going on. And by this point, I would have happily blown the whistle, saved the remaining 40 minutes, right? Saved the minutes in the legs and put them out of their misery, right? Just, I would have happily taken that back to London, that scoreline, right? There was still time, of course, for us to pile on two more goals. Odegaard, again, scored the sixth, I believe, scored later on. Poor goalkeeping. He really should keep that out, right? The very fact, though, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, that we're taking shots from distance again, like Rice has taken hits from close to the box, Odegaard did, and you just never know what's going to happen, right? You got to roll the dice sometimes and see what happens. This time it paid off in our favor. He didn't need to flap at it like that, right? I'm just so glad instead of ricocheting off his hand over the bar or something, it went into the goal. So we benefit there again. 6-1 Arsenal. There's still time for a seventh, right? Calafiori, he's worked his way in. He's seen the gap, seen the space, drives into the box. Another beautiful finish on his right foot, tucked in on the inside of the post, and it's 7-1. And I think we're all just watching, wherever you're watching in the world, we're all just amazed. Like, you know, what is this? Who is this Arsenal? Seven goals when we've struggled to score one in the last few weeks, given our injuries and so on. So it was just brilliant, like just amazing, such a needed victory for the club. I was really hoping to see Now more than ever, I thought it's a great opportunity just to give some minutes to some of these youngsters. Nathan Butler Owadeji, who has been waiting in the wings for so long for some meaningful minutes. I thought he can come on, take some minutes off the likes of Trossard or Marino, protect them. But of course, look, you know, Arteta, he has his ways. He brought on Sterling. I think he's still somehow trying to cling on to some hope of playing Sterling into form. Sterling's first touch, again, look, I'm not going to redo the whole Sterling thing, but he just doesn't even try to go around a defender anymore. He just runs straight at them and just gets dispossessed because they don't even have to tackle right. They can just stand still and he runs into them. So that was a bit disappointing to see because I just don't know when are we going to get a look at these guys otherwise. Or is it just that they're just nowhere near the level and they're only just making up the numbers on the bench, right? So it could be that Arteta obviously knows more than anyone else. He watches them on the training pitch every day and is aware of their ability and their capacity to make an impact. So, let's see what happens in the second leg, right? Because we're up 7-1, and without being complacent or without being unprofessional and disrespectful to the opposition, right? We all know that we wouldn't delve into that, right? But 7-1 in the second leg, that's a prime opportunity now to utilize some different players and different options to get the job done with a 6-goal buffer in the home second leg of the Champions League, right? We should be looking to do something different there, and because we've earned the right to, right? We've earned the right to do that by this performance, and that's some of the natural consequences that you gain from such a blistering performance like this, right? So 7-1, and we did make some more changes. Partey came off, Zinchenko on. He looked lively in this sort of newfound midfield role. Again, I think it's coloured by the fact that the space that's given in midfield, right? We don't often see that. We don't often see us afforded that sort of space and time in the Premier League. So I'm not trying to read too much into those sort of performances. Who else came on? I may have missed someone. Yeah, of course. Timber came off, which is excellent for him. White is back. He copped a nasty tackle later on, which my heart skipped a few beats, right? Watching him writhing in pain on the ground, but thankfully got up and limped it off and walked it off, and he was fine towards the end. So we saw the game out professionally, right? As you'd expect, given our injuries, right? We're still a very experienced professional team. So we did what we needed to do, saw it out. 2 minutes at a time, we saw that out pretty comfortably as well. And 7-1 to the Arsenal. Like what a night for the away fans. What an extraordinary European away leg. It's the type of thing that people who experience that, if you were one of the lucky 3,000 or 4,000 Arsenal fans in that contingent to experience that, it stays with you for decades, right? It's a lifelong memory, irrespective of what happens now or next or in the remaining months of the season. That stuff stays with you for a long time. In fact, if you were one of them, I would love to hear your thoughts. If you can, please share them. I will share any of your feedback or your insight, your experience on my next recording, my next podcast. Because what a moment to be a part of that. And yeah, look, 7-1. I don't think any of us saw this coming. I certainly didn't. I would have taken a dour nil all or 1-1 score draw as long as we didn't lose, because I wouldn't want to be chasing a lead in the second leg given our goal scoring struggles. But you know, like 7-1, I still can't believe it. I'm still pinching myself. This was a magnificent night for Arsenal. Absolutely magnificent. We very much needed it. Need to kickstart some momentum. We've got some big domestic fixtures coming up. We've got Manchester United on the weekend, second leg against PSV next week, and then Chelsea in the Premier League as well. So this sort of energy, this sort of momentum, it snowballs, right? We needed to change the narrative, and we certainly did that. So we've turned the tide. Whatever happens in those matches, right, it remains to be seen. But just imagine the mood right now in the dressing room. Imagine the mood at the club, the energy of all the players and staff watching that, the return home. Imagine the smiles on their faces, right? As we get back to London and we focus on nutrition, recovery, prepare for Manchester United on the weekend, like, the energy will be palpable. It's brilliant for all. And look, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I'm going to wrap this one up in a moment. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back on in the next couple of days as we prepare and reflect on this match and prepare for the Premier League, return to Premier League this weekend. But for now, I just wanted to record this raw reaction. You can probably sense how excited I am, right? So I'm going to get this out, get this podcast published. Thank you so much for listening. Whatever platform you're listening on, I would very much welcome a like or subscribe, a comment with any feedbacks or thoughts, please. I welcome everything. A review, if you would be so kind to do that. It really helps with search engines and the algorithms. Thank you so much for being here. Like, what a night. I'm going to end up watching the replays of that one Yuri goal in particular 100 times. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe. I'll talk to you all soon, and come on, Arsenal.